south of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came out to play. And now as I wander.
Hello there, all you expat wannabes. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you just what it's like to live, work, play, and or retire down here in Latin America. It's a mix of the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great, and it's all right here, so let's get started. Well, Expat Eddie has resurfaced again, and every time I run into him, man, he's got stories to tell. This time he gave me a completely unexpected cleaning lady slash maid story. You just have to hear this. But first, let me explain a few things for you new listeners. I hope you all know by now, one of the great advantages of living down here in Latin America, for us gringos and expats that is that we can have maids, cleaning ladies, gardeners, maintenance guys, full-time, part-time, live-in, whatever, even though that kind of thing is completely unheard of in middle-class, even upper-middle-class society in the States. In fact, I know great numbers of gringos and expats who've been down here a while. They've retired on a small pension of maybe 20 or 30 grand a year, enough to live on the top brand of hamburger helper and cat food up in the States. Yep, people who lived a solid middle-class life way back when, they come down here and suddenly they realize they can have a full-time cleaning lady, a nanny for the kids, and a maintenance guy. And you know what we're really buying when we hire those people is time. Time for ourselves. So get ready to have a lot of spare time. I mean, just imagine it yourself. Never having to clean the garage or the kitchen or the basement again. Never having to wash your windows, do your gardening, clean the toilets, put up and take down the screens, wash your car, or even bitch at your other half for not doing his or her share of the chores. How about that? Far fewer little household arguments and fights over nothing. Yeah, I know. Some of you listeners out there actually enjoy washing your car, doing a little bit of gardening, whatever. But surely you get the point. You're going to have a lot of time on your hands to do all the things you really wanted to do, or maybe you just thought about doing and never really intended to do. Like, maybe write that not-so-great American novel. Hey, I've even taken a crack at that. And you know, there's an age-old saying that every one of us has a book or two in us somewhere. Or maybe just an e-book or a pamphlet. Who knows? If only we had the time, right? Well, that said, here's a book I think that needs to be written. It probably could be a bestseller. We'd call it Maids and Cleaning Ladies for Dummies. Wouldn't sell a copy up north, but here in Latin America, man, you'd sell a million. Because, you know, all our lives up in the first world, we never ever had a chance to dip our toes into that world. The world maids, gardeners, and cleaning ladies live in. I mean, let's face it. Long ago, when my expat buddies and I were living in Chicago, Cleveland, Tucson, and my jammy, the closest we ever got to understanding that slice of life was watching drawing room dramas like Upstairs, Downstairs on Masterpiece Theater. Hey, am I showing my age yet? Sure, those of us who had businesses occasionally had cleaning services and such. I mean, someone had to do that work, right? And it wasn't going to be the owner, or his wife, or heaven forbid, his kids. The truth is, when I lived up in the States, when you heard that a person had a full-time maid, or even one that came in one or two days a week, man, that was a sign of success. You were even a bit jealous. Well, down here, you'd be surprised how many tens of thousands, if not millions of Latins who make 800 to 1,000 bucks a month fit that same description of really making it. Yes, because they do have maids and cleaning ladies. That said, a long-term gringo or gringa really does have to write that book, Maids and Cleaning Ladies for Dummies. Because most of us start out, believe it or not, being clueless dummies when we hire people like that. Yep, we think after hiring that maid, our troubles are over. Well, for some of us, they're just beginning. Now, you could say my case was somewhat typical. Once I got down here 25 years or so ago and got settled in other words, found a place, rented it in a decent neighborhood and such, I hired a maid a couple days a week and a gardener to come in just once a week. Now, I figure since I've been down here, I've fired probably 4 maids and 2 gardeners slash maintenance men. Now, the maids, I always ended up firing because they stole something. And one of the gardeners for stealing too, the other one just because I caught him sleeping on the job. Get this, he went up on the roof, found himself a nice little cubbyhole, fixed himself a little makeshift mattress, and never suspected I would climb up on the roof and check things out. Now, you will find that your maids, cleaning ladies, and gardeners and stuff will make a lot of dumb mistakes. Actually, not dumb to them, it's just the way they're used to doing things. To us, with our first world attitude and sensibilities, we just start noticing that they're terribly inefficient and disorganized, kind of like most things in Latin America, which is par for the course. Therefore, no reason to get upset or blow a gasket. And you could just let them go about doing things their way, but it does great on you. Unless, of course, you're the extremely laid-back and forgiving type, which I ain't. Good example here. Your cleaning lady, who, let's say you have only 2 or 3 days a week, she comes in the morning. First thing she does, she sweeps the floor. Remember, smart gringos and expats do not have carpets. They have tile or wood floors. So they're very easy to clean, maintain, and keep looking nice. Anyway, it's typical. She'll come in the morning, sweep all the floors, then she'll mop the floors down with some kind of disinfectant like the local brand of Lysol. They call it disinfectante here. Tough to remember, huh? Disinfectante. And she'll go over the whole floor, every room. And of course, it'll be a little moist and it'll air dry in about maybe in half an hour. Okay, so far so good. And that'll leave a really clean floor. So then you're thinking, what's wrong with that? Well, all of us love to see a nice clean floor like that. However, your average cleaning lady will go through that very same process in your whole house about 3 times a day. And of course, as clueless gringos, we let them in the morning, thinking they know exactly what to do. And of course, we're off on our little missions that we do all day. We're not paying much attention as long as she doesn't get in our way. You know, writing that not-so-great un-American novel and stuff. And as long as we see her popping around corners and dusting and wiping down things, man, we're thinking, hey, she's doing her job and she's doing it good. And we just can't believe we're getting all that for $12 to $15 a day. And you know, I'll tell you, it really takes a gringo woman, gay guy, or metrosexual to see the obvious inefficiencies, redundancies, and errors. Because, you know, us average gringo guys, all we care about is that someone's doing the stuff we don't want to do. The stuff that if we didn't have a maid or cleaning lady would build up until our own living quarters got so disgusting, we'd eventually have to dig out from under it, maybe even fumigate it ourselves. Ladies, you know what I'm talking about. So anyway, it actually took me years to figure out that my cleaning lady was cleaning my floor 3 times a day. Now, is that efficient? Hell no. The fact of the matter is, she should just come in, do all the other necessary things around the house, and at the very end of the day, right before she goes home, she should sweep it all down and do the mopping. Otherwise, you know, the owner and whoever else is living in the house is tracking things all over the place from the moment she's done sweeping and mopping. And remember, when she's done mopping, you've got a half an hour of moist floor there. So anything that touches it's going to leave a smudge. Which is why by noon the floor is all marked up and she does it again. Then, around 4 in the afternoon, she does it yet again. Now, of course, your cleaning lady might just do it 2 times a day, or maybe 4. You never know. In her mind, she's doing the absolute right thing, just keeping that floor clean for the owner. But let me tell you, in a year, there's hundreds of hours wasted just doing the damn thing 3 times a day. And that's not all. 1 minute, she'll be in the master bedroom doing all she's got to do in there. And then she'll run downstairs, get a mop, a pail, some water, some rags, and some bathroom cleaning supplies. Run up to that bedroom again, go in the bathroom, clean the toilet, the sink, the shower, whatever. Head to the next bedroom or guest room, clean that room. Then change over all her supplies and go into the bathroom there. Clean that, do the toilets, sinks, and bathtub and stuff. And you know, after a while you start thinking, man, that's not efficient at all. She's gone up and down the stairs a dozen times to get supplies and water and stuff. Why doesn't she just stay put on one level for a while? Well, they just don't have a system, so you'll probably have to give it to them. Like, for example, how about cleaning all the rooms first, and when that's all done, hit all the bathrooms. Besides, it's a hell of a lot more sanitary that way. I mean, you really don't want her making your bed right after she cleaned the toilet, right? Oh, and guys, by the way, they make beds too. 100% better than you can. But they don't have a nice, efficient, standard plan of attack. Instead, you know, they just noodle around and go from here to there, hoping that they'll get it all done by 4 in the afternoon, I guess. Oh, and about the hygienic and sanitary aspect here. Cleaning ladies, maids, and gardeners are not used to using a lot of water for anything. Why? Because remember, in their little houses, the water's only on maybe 6 or 8 hours a day, and it comes out of the faucet or spigot, penciled thin, looking like, well, let's just say, not looking good. And you know, first world people use between 80 and 100 gallons of water a day, and Latins, specifically the middle class, lower middle class, and poor Latins, use a quarter of that or less. Therefore, it's a guarantee they just do not wash their hands as often or as well as they should. Then again, do you? In fact, get this. Not so long ago, I walked into a public high school. In fact, it was actually a school that specialized in music, if you can believe that. A public school that specialized in music. Well, as bad as the public schools are here in Latin America, sometimes in the big cities, they'll have some schools with special programs to throw some money at that they got from, you guessed it, foreign do-gooders and NGOs. But you'll never see that in the schools out in the boonie, but that's another subject. Anyway, I went to a band concert there. Not because I wanted to, but because I'm such a good guy, actually I'm an easy touch, I donated a trumpet. And the little girl that ended up with it sent an invitation out, and I went just to, well, you know, kind of, you have to do that kind of stuff once in a while. By the way, this trumpet cost me all of about $100, which isn't much of a big deal, but you have to choose your charities, right? And since I've always been kind of a B-grade musician myself, well, pretty good cause, huh? Anyway, not to toot my own horn, bad pun, huh? As I was walking through that school to go to their music assembly, when I sat down in the hallway before going in, I saw a big poster on the wall showing a generic unisex kind of person, you know, neither male nor female. In fact, it was a health and hygiene poster showing the parts of the body you should wash daily, taking into account the shortage of water in the average person's house. And to a first world person, it comes as a bit of a shock since we've always had unlimited access to water where we come from. But it made you feel good to know they're actually teaching the kids where they should wash, where they should concentrate their efforts. However, soon enough you find out that Latins don't think there's a shortage of water because they get what they get and it's always been like that. It's not as if there's been a recent cutback and there was water 24/7 in the past. It's not the case. Water has always been spotty, almost never 24 hours a day when it's taken from municipal supplies. That's why so many people have little plastic cistern collectors on their roofs. They're really ugly, terrible eyesores, but they work. Generally, they fill very slowly and at night. Because you see, when people are asleep and no one's using the water, there is some pressure. But you knew that already, right? And a lot of middle class and upper middle class people have an electric booster pump, so they can get pretty decent pressure and water flow during the day. But unfortunately, for at least half the population here, the poor and the lower middle classes, well, they can't afford those pumps. And most often, they can't even afford one of those plastic cisterns, so, well, you do without. Or actually, you do what a lot of people in that position do. They have some 55-gallon drums around the house, and they fill them up with rainwater. That works fine, but only half the year, because you know you've got the rainy season and the dry season, each a half year long. In fact, let me tell you what it's like when you're way out in the boonies and, for example, you have to use the bathroom. So you pull into a gas station or a 7-Eleven. Got a lot of names from down here. They're called Super 24s, which is Super 24, which means they're open 24 hours, but they're really not. It's just the name of a franchise Spanish sort of 24-hour joint, but the owner closes whenever he feels like it. Makes sense, huh? This is Latin America. Anyway, you'll find even at gas stations that you know well, from up in the first world like Shell, Texaco, or Chevron, surprisingly enough, sometimes there'll be no running water at all in the bathrooms. Not good, huh? Instead, get this, they'll have a 55-gallon drum or a garbage can filled with water right outside the bathroom door with a little plastic dish floating on top of it. People use that to wash their hands, if they feel like it. Of course, you're not supposed to stick your hands in or wash your hands in the big barrel, lest you contaminate that big open barrel of water. Nope, you're supposed to scoop some water into the dish and pour the water in the sink over your hands. So then what about the toilet for a flush? Is there no water there either? Maybe, maybe not. 50-50 chance out in the boonies in the dry season. But again, that water there in the 55-gallon drum can be used to fill the toilet tank, so you can get a flush if you need it, but you'll have to lift the lid off the toilet tank and fill her up with the plastic bowl. However, I don't know many first-world gringos who are willing to go through that process. Depends how many times you've had to rough it, or if you know any backpacker tricks or not. I know it sounds like disagreeable work, but you know that's the way it is here in Latin America, especially way out in the boonies, where during the dry season, water is scarce. Which is why, if you think about it for a second, for almost all the Latin male population, the world is their urinal. I mean, come on, if you're on the road, why would you have to hunt out a bathroom when half the time there won't be any running water? I know all this sounds a bit distasteful and disgusting, but it's not as bad as all that if you're in a city or a town. They almost always have bathrooms with running water. at least for the toilet. As for water in the sink, well, there's no guarantee there. Oh, and just a little trick here. If you find the water is working in the toilet but not in the sink, you know what they've done, don't you? They've turned off the valve under the sink, so you're unable to use the faucet there. So why do you think they do that? Well, that's because, as I mentioned a million times before, Latins are not big on maintenance. It barely exists in their vocabulary. So any sink that's a little bit older usually leaks. And in a culture that's chronically short of water, a leaky faucet could soon wipe out that water reserve in the cistern on the roof, and you wouldn't want that. So the tip here is, and this is for ladies especially, if there's water in the toilet and the sink's not working, put your hand under the sink, locate the valve, and turn it on. You'll get water. But we were talking about maids and cleaning ladies, right? Well, us gringo men really appreciate a cleaning lady coming in. However, we have almost no interest in what she's doing after she's been hired. As long as she seems busy, that's okay with us, but it shouldn't be like that. In fact, you'll find only if you have a significant female other half living in the house to point out what the cleaning lady is doing wrong and all her inherent inefficiencies. That situation could be going on for years and years, and a guy would think things are just fine. Meanwhile, there's tremendous room for improvement. Oh, and here's something that kind of relates to the water problem. Your cleaning lady, maid, gardener, and stuff will come from a household that's very, very tight with water. So there's no way they'll be as clean or hygienic as we are, or we think we are. And I mean about anything. So beware, if your maid or cleaning lady is cooking for you, there's just going to be a hell of a lot of cross-contamination going on. I mean, let's face it, you don't even want to think about the fact that your cleaning lady just cleaned the toilet in the guest room and suddenly she's in the kitchen chopping raw vegetables and tossing the salad with her hands. Just check out those gigantic produce markets where ladies are forever handling driveway chickens. They're wiping their hands on their aprons and touching money. And then you walk by 5 minutes later and you see them sitting down eating tortillas and a sandwich with their fingers, of course, and no running water in sight. And you know it's your cleaning lady, maid, and gardener who have those same habits because they come from the same background and families. Which is why Expat Eddie has a good rule of thumb there. He owns restaurants, you know, and he can't afford for people to have Montezuma's revenge. I was talking about Expat Eddie at the beginning of the show, right? Anyway, Expat Eddie told me another one of his maids bit the dust. Nope, not because she was lazy or a thief, but as he explained, she's just an airhead and repeats the same mistakes over and over. For example, she destroyed his good, real leather jacket. How'd she do that? Well, she put it in the washing machine with the rest of the clothes. But that's just the beginning. She repeatedly explodes things in the microwave, he says. And just recently, she was the instigator of a complete microwave meltdown. You see, she continually misses the timing by one digit. So instead of 3 minutes, 30. I know, you're thinking, I would never use a microwave. Those things are bad for your health. Well, just telling you Eddie's experience here. Well, as it turned out, there was a meltdown in the stove under her watch, too. Wasn't the first time. This time, she heated up a pizza in the cardboard box and it caught fire. And, get this, she took a Brillo pad and she decided to clean the outside of Eddie's stainless steel refrigerator and his nice expensive stainless steel kitchen extractor fan, permanently damaging the finish. What a mess. Nope, you can't fix that. And you can't fault her for trying either, right? But here's what you can fault her for and why he fired her. Turns out we're the victims of our own success. Now that there's cheap, somewhat smartphones here in Latin America, even shoeshine boys have them, you can get one that got an internet connection for even as low as $25. And even though cell phone minute rates are relatively cheap, turns out if you buy your minutes on those special 3 and 4 per 1 days, you can call back to the States and do local calls for as little as 3 or 4 cents a minute. But for locals who love to talk and text, that really adds up, especially when a full-time worker makes only $200 or $300 a month. And now, guess what? Local Latins have discovered WhatsApp. Yep, all you need now is a minimally intelligent kind of smartphone for $20 or $30, and you get an internet connection, and you can install WhatsApp. And everyone's doing it, down to the shoeshine boys now. This is just a recent thing, too. And why are they doing that? Well, because it's like Skype. So WhatsApp texting and regular calls are almost free. Because like Skype, they're going over the internet instead of through the telephone lines. That said, cleaning ladies, maids, and gardeners have gotten into the act. They've all got WhatsApp and are becoming completely addicted to it. the under 30 crowd anyway. Not to mention they're absolutely obsessed with selfies too and posting everything and anything on WhatsApp. In fact, listen to this. The other day I was taking an escalator in a big shopping center and there was a troop of indigenous kids and their parents, look like. They're out from the boonies for a day in the city. What do you think they were doing? Taking multiple selfies on the escalator. Hey, whatever floats your boat, but talk about culture clash. You get it? They're in the city, taking selfies and posting things on the internet, and when they get home, they're back to drinking contaminated water and cooking with wood. Man, aren't humans the strangest animals? And believe me, you could tell your cleaning lady that you don't want her to use the phone, or tell her to leave it in her purse or in the little maid's quarters. Still, many of them will find a way to sneak it out. Now, expat Eddie says he has the very same problem at his restaurant, only worse. All his workers have WhatsApp now, and everyone's addicted to their cell phones. So he's got hard and fast rules for his workers, but you can't really control the cleaning lady because, well, with a big house and garden like his, she's all over the place and often out of sight for hours at a time. As it happens, Eddie travels a lot. He's often out of the country for weeks at a time. So about 6 months ago, Eddie had some surveillance cameras installed in his house. Now, it's not that he didn't trust his gardener and maintenance man and cleaning lady. It's just that he wanted to be able to check it on his smartphone when he's in another country traveling around. You know, that's kind of the neat thing to do with surveillance cameras these days, right? Especially people with little kids. They just cannot stand to be out of contact for more than 2 seconds with their precious little monsters. Yes, first world parents can be overprotective idiots at times. But you won't see that down here in Latin America. I don't get it. Somehow, we all survived without baby monitors and wino-meters. But I digress as usual. Anyway, since Eddie has surveillance cameras in all his restaurants, it was an easy step for him to have some installed in his house, including multiple views of the gardens and the streets leading up to his place. And he's got a couple of them in the big living spaces, too. Now, his system has a really nice motion detection feature that sends him an email when something's up. He's got it set up so that it only kicks in when an object the size of a person walks past a camera. That way, dogs, cats, squirrels, iguanas, Gila monsters, skunks, and politicians won't set it off. Which leads directly to the reason why Eddie fired his cleaning lady. Well, he forgave all the other stuff. The ruined leather jacket, blown microwave, the stove meltdown. By the way, he wouldn't let her near the electric dryer or the dishwasher. Well, the thing that really got Eddie pissed off, and there was no turning back, when some weeks ago he was on a little trip and he happened to flick on his smartphone, looking at the cameras around the house, and his maid, his cleaning lady, was doing her thing, cleaning the living room, and making poses around the house and taking selfies. And in fact, she was posting all that stuff to her friends on WhatsApp. Now, if you think about that for a second, you know, if you value your privacy and security, the last thing you want to do is to have the inside of your house photoed and posted up all over the internet. And you know, people always ask me about security and safety here in Latin America, and you know what? It doesn't take much to be secure and safe, and to have a very low profile. Unless, of course, the interior of your nice, expensive home is pasted up all over the internet. And you think about the type of people that are looking at it, remember, there's a lot of petty crime and theft in Latin America. The attitude being, you've got so much and I've got so little. You've got 2 toasters and 3 radios and I've got none. Not to mention down here, everyone seems to have a cousin or a shirt-sleeve relative with 1 too many tattoos on his neck, and you don't want them to see what your house looks like inside. So that was the last straw for Eddie, and she had to go. And you know, I don't blame him. However, the photos of his house are now still out there on the internet. So that calls for a new rule, a new regulation when you hire a maid, cleaning lady, or gardener. No selfies or photos around the property. Period. Oh, by the way, speaking of cleaning ladies and maintenance guys and such, there's this conversation I get into occasionally, especially with new green expats and gringos. They're wondering, or actually I should say they feel guilty about paying those low salaries to the maids, cleaning ladies, and gardeners. Would you feel uncomfortable paying someone $12 to $15 a day? Would you pay more? I say in the interview you should always ask them what they want to get paid. And you'll find when you're off the gringo tourist trail anyway, they know exactly what everyone else is getting, and they'll ask for the same. However, if you're on the gringo tourist trail or dealing with someone who actually speaks English, look out. Chances are, the gouge is coming. So, should you or shouldn't you? I mean, pay more than the going rate. This may sound crude and cruel, but all you have to do is look at the case of Costa Rica, the place where the gringos flooded in for the last 20 or so years. Many, if not most of them, felt sorry for the help and started out by paying more than the going rate. And now, a maid, gardener, or cleaning lady makes about twice as much as their equivalent counterpart in almost all other Latin countries. So then you might say, so what? They're poor. They deserve it. However, that wage inflation pretty much filtered through the entire country, and now it's twice as expensive in many key sectors as adjacent off-the-gringo tourist trail countries. In fact, if you recall in a past show, I mentioned that to get your permanent residency status in most Latin countries off the gringo tourist trail, you have to prove at least $1,000 a month income from a foreign source. However, in Costa Rica, to get your permanent residency, you have to prove more than twice that. I think it's $2,400 a month now. So what's that tell you? That the trickle-down effect has pervaded all levels of society there, and now it's no longer financially advantageous for a gringo on a moderately tight budget to live in Costa Rica. Let's do the numbers. Suppose you made $1,400 or $1,500 a month from Social Security. You could easily have a live-in made in most other Latin countries because you'll pay $200 to $300 a month. However, in Costa Rica, you'll pay $600 a month or more, which will eat up almost half of your Social Security check. So you're probably going to be cleaning your house yourself. Now, you might think this harsh or that I'm a jerk. But really, one of the main reasons you're coming down here to Latin America is to take advantage of the very low cost of living and labor. So my advice, pay the going rate to your help. No more, no less, but do give them extras that they'd never get working for a Latin boss. Give them clothes, food, presents. Give their kid a bicycle at Christmas. If someone in the family is sick or in the hospital, help pay for the medicine. Give the family one of your old computers. There are a million and one ways you could help out the families of the people working for you without wreaking havoc with the neighborhood salary structure. Of course, you can do what you want, but it's just my take on things. That said, with my January 2017 seminar kicking off in a few weeks, I know a lot of you tried and were scrambling to get in, but just couldn't do it this time. And really, who knows if there's going to be a next time? People are expecting very dire things up in the first world coming in the next few months. So I really can't predict if there's going to be another seminar, which is why you really have to take a look at my new Expat Essentials course. Just go to expatplanb.com, check out the videos, and see how to get your Plan B off the ground from right up there in Cleveland, Seattle, New York, New Jersey, wherever. It really is the next best thing to getting your boots on the ground. www.expatplanb.com.
South of the border.
This is the Expat Files, living in Latin America. If you want me to help you out with your own Plan B, just schedule a one-on-one consult. Send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. And if you want to learn how to move forward with your own Plan B from right up there in the States, go to www.expatplanb.com and check out my three videos. See ya. Nos vemos.